Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, Lord, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. The church has one primary purpose. We have one mission that we are set to accomplish. Jesus made it crystal clear when he commissioned his disciples that they had one mission. Do you know what that is? Do you know why the church exists today? Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." That's it. To be witnesses of Jesus Christ. So in a courtroom, we have witnesses that testify to what they have seen and heard and know to be true. And so if I stand up here and juggle these balls, you can watch and you can be my witnesses. So here goes. You ready? Got your eyes open? That was one try. That was two tries, one more. I think I can do it. Well, here. So, you're my witnesses. Did I do it? Okay. Well, thank you. I juggled some balls. So, in the Bible, a witness is someone who sees something important or amazing, and when then they start to tell others about it, they are actually bearing witness. And that is who we are as the church. That's what we are called to do. We are called to bear witness. So let's look through the lens of our local church right here, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Our mission is to make fully devoted followers of Jesus who love God, love others, and serve in our world. So how do we do that? We do it by witnessing to Jesus Christ, to his life, to his death, to his resurrection. We are witnesses. So our vision is to be a vibrant, Christ-centered community connecting all generations to Jesus. How do we do that? By being witnesses of Jesus, by sharing his love and receiving his love and blessing one another. That's what we are called to do. Everything we do is filtered through our purpose as witnesses of Jesus in order to make followers who make followers of Jesus. So that is our purpose. That's what we're called to do. So where do we do that? Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, those are local places where Jesus was as he was preaching to his disciples and then going out a little bit and then to the ends of the world. So did you know that we are not actually the end of the earth here in our local area? Sometimes we might describe it that way. Where do you live? Oh, out in the end of the earth. No, actually, we are the center from where God has called us to his mission. And from this center, we are to then go out into the local surrounding areas, to our regions, and then globally. So we witness locally in our communities right here, probably about a 35-mile radius where we have our local focus and attention. But that's not exclusive. We are witnesses regionally as we partner with other churches around us and other ministries around us, like the Alexandria Covenant Church. And, you know, as we are commissioning or sending Pastor Greg and Miranda out to Alexandria, we recognize that what a wonderful thing that we already have a vibrant relationship with that church and will continue to work together as we minister the gospel in ever-expanding areas. So we're grateful for that partnership. But we also have the Northwest Conference in which we do things like Moose, the most ultimate urban something, camping experience. And, you know, part of that is witnessing to Jesus Christ, to our junior high students. And we do things like the Rural Impact Leadership Conference, which equips us as churches to reach out and save families, which again demonstrates and witnesses to the love and grace of Jesus Christ in our communities. So we witness in that broader region, but we also witness globally around the world. And we do that in places like Unite, where we are going to send our senior high students, where they're going to experience and be equipped even more to witness to the world around them. And we also have our experiences and relationships and witness in Alaska and Belize and the Congo and through the World Vision 6K, where the Holy Spirit, wherever the Holy Spirit leads us in witnessing. Now, most of us think, well, I'm just part of the local church. That's all I do. I go to church. That's my witness. But the reality is God has called you and I to a witness that is ever expanding and is global in nature. And the fact is that we now have a global witness right here as God sends the world to us. But we also are called to go out to the world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So now we know what our purpose is. To be what? Witnesses, very good. And we know how, where we are to do it. Where are we to do it? Everywhere, really, right? Locally, regionally, globally. The last question then is, how? How do we witness? Well, the truth is the mission can only happen by the power and direction of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, but you will receive power. Say power. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, power. We know what power is all about. We need it, right? My cell phone, the other day, I was in the car, and I realized I hadn't charged it before I left. I had a couple-hour ride. I was going to do a verbal Zoom call. I wasn't watching, right? Verbal Zoom call on there. And I realized I'm almost out of power. So what do? I plug it into a cord that was in the car, but the cord didn't have the capacity to charge my phone enough, so it said 8 hours and 5 minutes. And then it just kept going down, down, down. And I realized pretty quick, I'm going to run out of power here. Right in the middle of my call, I'm going to power out. And that'll be the end. That's kind of like our lives apart from the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't have the power to accomplish what we need to do, what we are called to do in the mission of the church. We need to be plugged in to the power of God. And that is the Holy Spirit. So when does that power to witness come? Well, it comes when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and upon me. And that's why it's so important that the disciples did what Jesus said to do. And you know what that is? Jesus said, wait. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift the Father has promised. Wait. Who likes to wait? Maybe wait for lunch when there's burgers and brats. You can smell them over there. Why do we have to wait? We could just eat right here, couldn't we? We have to wait. Wait to get a driver's license when the only thing you want to do is what? Drive. Or wait until school's out for the summer when, in fact, the only thing, you know, it's sunny, it's nice. Why do we have to continue to go to school? Wait to buy a new boat when the fish are biting on Lake Traverse right now. Wait to plant until it's dry. Can't we just mud that crop in? Wait, wait, wait. Why do we wait? I believe because it's in the waiting that God is doing his work. God is calling us to wait for a season, wait for a purpose, wait until his timing is right. Jesus said, wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So what did Jesus say his disciples needed to do? To wait for what was promised. Wait. I don't think that's often the message we hear in the church. Like, you know, we need to get really ready and wait. And just wait on God. Just be patient. Just wait to see what God's up to. So why is it so important? I think it's foundational to the life and mission of the church. And too many of us really don't know that, or we don't practice that. So if we want to have impact, and I think that we all do as witnesses of Jesus, then you and I need to recognize that you cannot accomplish the mission of Jesus apart from the Spirit of Jesus. We can't accomplish the mission apart from the Holy Spirit. But the good news is that with God, with the Spirit of God, all things are possible. But you and I need to be sure that it is God's timing. So we wait for the Holy Spirit to empower us and to give us the go-ahead. And then when we are clear, when we are sure, when we know that it is the Spirit leading us, then our mission is to go. Then we can go. You will be my witnesses. in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. And that's what happened in Acts chapter 2. We see this powerful witness in the Bible as the Holy Spirit comes and the disciples are whisked out. So the disciples, they waited for God. They prayed, and then God showed up. And the Holy Spirit came upon the people who were gathered up in this upper room, the early disciples. There was about 120 of them. And then the church was born in this holy rush of the Spirit, and the great gospel witness begins. We read about it, but that day the disciples started speaking in languages not their own. This empowered by the Holy Spirit, they were given the power to speak languages while all these people from all around the world were gathered together for this festival, and they heard the disciples in their own language. People were wondering what was going on, and someone suggested, hey, this is weird. They must be drunk. Listen to them. But the Holy Spirit empowered Peter to explain with clarity what was going on. He said, no, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, now understand this, we're in the last days. He's saying, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, meaning they'll speak the word of God. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone, say everyone. Everyone, listen carefully to this. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Who will be saved? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is what God is calling us to. One thing that the Holy Spirit does is to empower witnesses by giving clarity. The Holy Spirit makes things clear. We need that so much, especially in a world today of misinformation and disinformation. We don't know what's real, what's not. The Holy Spirit gives us clarity. So Peter, he preached all about Jesus and the events that had taken place right up to the point of decision. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, therefore, he says, let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Now, that's the question that we're all waiting for. That's the question that when we're witnessing to others that we desperately want to hear. What do I do? When someone says that, then we need the Holy Spirit to empower us boldly with clarity. Peter doesn't say, oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Let's ask the pastor's wife, Cheryl. She knows most things. I mean, if you don't know, yeah, you can say, I don't know, but I'll find out. But maybe praying and asking God for clarity and direction, Peter simply, he answers in the moment. He says, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So he says, repent, be forgiven, be baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the Holy Spirit. I want us to say that, practice that. Maybe if you're online with us too, say repent. Amen. Say be forgiven. Say be baptized in Jesus' name. And then the last one is receive the Holy Spirit. So, and if anyone asks, how do I do that? Then you just repeat, repent, believe in Jesus' name, be forgiven, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. Are we getting it? It's about Jesus. Really? It's all about Jesus. This mission and ministry that we are on is not about us as the church. It's about Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit points everyone to Jesus. Followers of Jesus point people to who? Jesus. And that kind of Spirit-empowered witness has impact. You know, as we read, if you pick up the scripture and start reading in Acts, we begin to see the church growing, that people are believing, they are added to the church daily. It says those who are being saved by the thousands. So as the Holy Spirit is empowering this witness of the disciples, people are coming to faith. And the truth today is that hasn't changed. Every local church needs to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So your church, wherever you are, your church is the mission outpost in your part of the world. Jesus established the church to preach and teach and heal in Jesus' name. He gave us all the resources that we need to accomplish that mission exponentially. All the resources we need. Did you know that we don't need $1 million to reach the world for Christ? Now, that'd be nice, right? I mean, we could do a lot with a lot of money, but we don't need that. We don't need 1,000 people to accomplish our mission. You know, that would be nice, right? We want to see the church grow, but we don't need that to get started. It doesn't even require a whole team of seasoned pastors to do that. So what does the church require to be on mission? Now more than ever, the church needs the Holy Spirit's empowerment. Everything that God has given us. Tony Campolo, he shared this story of a town where all the residents were ducks. Every Sunday, the ducks waddled out of their houses and waddled down Main Street to their church. They waddled into the sanctuary and squat in their proper pews. The duck choir waddled up and takes its place. And then the duck minister comes forward and opens the duck Bible, and he reads to them, "Ducks, God has given you wings. With wings you can fly. With wings you can mount up and soar like eagles. No walls can confine you. No fence can hold you. You have wings. God has given you wings. You can fly like birds." And all the ducks shout, "Amen." And then they all waddle home. The church that's going to win the world for Christ cannot waddle in and out on Sunday mornings. We need to be lit up by the Holy Spirit fire and sent out by the Holy Spirit's power with boldness and with courage and with wisdom that comes from above and with healing sent by God's Spirit to open eyes to the salvation of Jesus Christ. For the church to win the world to Christ, we need Holy Spirit clarity and conviction to call on the name of Jesus in true repentance so that people will not only ask, "What do we do?" but then they will do that. People will call on the name of Jesus and get saved and follow him as the vibrant Christ-centered church that God calls us to be. See, that's our mission, making followers who make followers of Jesus. And it happens when we are filled, when the church is filled with the Holy Spirit's power. So how do we experience this outpouring power of the Holy Spirit more and more in our mission? If it's so important, how do we do that? How do we get that boldness and power that the Bible speaks about? Let's go back to Acts in chapter 1 and look for a couple of clues. Now, you are the clue finders here. I'm going to read you. Shout these out if you find them, really, literally, like, that's it. Shout it out. So Acts chapter 1, verse 13. They're talking about the disciples. They went upstairs to the room where they were staying. They all joined together. That's it. Let's keep going. Constantly in prayer. Yep, I hear you. Yep. Along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So we got a couple here. I heard somebody shout out, that's it, being together. I think that's key. I think that's key right now. And listen to me if you're online with us. They were together. It's easy to underestimate how big being together is. I think we somehow, we have to get in regular proximity with one another as followers of Jesus. We have to be with other followers of Jesus. That's part of what it means to be the church. Now, it's not going to church that matters. Hear me out. It's not going to church that matters. It's being the church. That's a big difference. And to be the church, you and I have to be with the church. Now, we can do that online. If we can't be here in person and you're online today, you're being present with the church through that online vehicles. And sometimes that's the only way we can do it. And if you are doing that today, if you're online, comment to the other people watching so they know you're there with them. But at some point, you and I still need to get around other believers interacting. And maybe we could do that online, interacting like on a Zoom call sometime. But don't neglect in person when possible, because there's something that happens in close proximity. They all join together constantly in prayer. Now that's the second key, and we can't neglect this, constantly in prayer. It says that men and women, it doesn't say, kids and youth, but I'm guessing that, they're all gathered together. I'm guessing that the whole families are there. There's youth there praying. There's kids gathered around in the perimeter. Everybody's together and they're praying constantly. Now you might think, that's strange. People being together all the time and praying constantly. No thanks. But why are they doing that? I think this is the key. They are so intent on seeing what Jesus has promised come about. They can't wait for what he has promised to be the truth and the reality. And so they're constantly calling out and asking God. It doesn't say what they're praying, but I can just guess they're saying, "Come, Lord Jesus, like you said you will." Or, "Send your Holy Spirit, like you said you will." Constantly praying and asking God to do what God said he's going to do. I know that groups of this church are praying today to see the Holy Spirit poured out and accomplishing God-sized visions of reaching those who are perishing or will be perishing in eternal hell without Jesus and without experiencing the eternal life that comes by faith in him right now. There's no other name on which we can call in order to be saved. They're praying, I hope, like the church in Acts, for boldness and for power and for wisdom to be able to witness to Jesus wherever and whenever those opportunities arise. And I believe praying for those opportunities to arise. The denomination of the Covenant Church has been praying for more than a year now, consistently called to prayer for the Holy Spirit to pour out on his church in a new Pentecost spirit of renewal that ignites a powerful witnessing revival of biblical proportions. They've been praying, and the church is starting to see things we haven't seen in a long time. So how do we begin to experience the Holy Spirit power that the Bible describes? I think it's simply get on our knees, figuratively, and pray. Pray and ask. And so I'm going to ask us as a church at noon every day of the week to commit to praying and know that the church is praying. And I think when a whole church begins to pray together, that we are going to see things that we have never seen, or at least haven't seen in a long time. We're going to see God's Holy Spirit at work. And I see some thumbs up. Noon every day, a call to prayer. The opportunity is so great today. Right here on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, on our front steps, in our homes, the opportunity to witness on the street corners, to our friends. There's no place that the gospel cannot penetrate when you and I are empowered by the Holy Spirit. I want you to hear that. There's no place the gospel cannot penetrate when you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm a theologist, Christopher Wright. He said, "Mission is now..." Things have changed. Mission is now from anywhere to everywhere. Just because we're here in Wheaton, Minnesota, has no limit on where God can send us and how far we can reach. And you don't have to leave your community to witness, but you do have to start praying. You do have to invite the Holy Spirit in. You do have to be empowered. If you're not sure about all this praying and being empowered, then I invite you to start reading the book of Acts. Pay attention to all the times that they're praying, all the times that the Holy Spirit is spoken about, and I don't think you'll go far before you get the point. So pray that the Holy Spirit fills us with this flowing, inflowing, and witnessing love of God. And that's the outcome in Acts chapter 2. All of them, it says. How many? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Are you worried about what to say? Don't be. I think if God caused the disciples to be able to witness to people from all over the world in all kinds of different languages at the very same time, the Holy Spirit can enable you to witness to whomever he calls you to. That's what God does. He'll meet every challenge and overcome any obstacle when we are willing to boldly share the good news of Jesus Christ and call people to faith in him. Stephen Chandler, he's senior pastor of Union Church, he says that to receive the Holy Spirit is to be all in. So in YouVersion app, actually this morning, he describes his son trying to learn how to swim, but his son still doesn't want to get his head under the water. And he simply tells him, son, boy, you can't learn to swim unless you get your head underwater. But he said he's just not ready yet. To receive the Holy Spirit is to go all in. It's an all-in response to the goodness of God. So I invite you, friends, Bethlehem Covenant Church and beyond, repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. Go all in. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you do not leave us alone, that you call us to a mission that apart from you is impossible, but with you, Lord, is possible. All things are possible. And Lord, to be filled with the very presence of God, of you, Father, that is the promise that you have given throughout the Old Testament and now you fulfill in the New. As Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, you are ready to send your Spirit into your church in new and amazing ways. You simply invite us to ask, Father, send your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Fill us to overflowing that we might be your witnesses and experience the powerful, dynamic mystery of the gospel impacting lives for all eternity. Lord, that one day we will all meet together in the renewed kingdom of heaven, rejoicing in who you are, God our Savior. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.